with Mr. Avery Posey. But one thing I am more excited about is that Papa Posey is in the house tonight here too. Saints, Avery and I are excited to be able to share with you tonight what the Lord was speaking to us. The message on Sunday, Siege Warfare, The High Cost of Freedom, was a blessing to us, was it not? Yes. One of the things that we gleaned from was Israel's motto, Never Again Masada. Yeah. They had invested time, money, husbands, wives, children into this Never Again motto. And that is how they operate on a daily basis. That's how they dictate how they move forward in a Never Again Masada. This is how we must live our lives every single day with a never again motto. What are those never agains in our lives? Never again means obedience no matter the cost. The best way to be all in is to give them everything and hold nothing in reserve. Luke 9, 23 through 24. The pastors read it on Sunday. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. Pastor Devin and Pastor Landon told us that it was a family affair. It is a family affair. We cannot be all in and expect less of the ones around us. Instead, our wives, children, singles, the ones around you. If it is a family affair, then what does it start with? It starts with a marriage. Our title tonight for our sermon is going to be Never Again. The marriage, if we look around in today's world, is the one that's been under siege warfare for some time now. We can look around and see the rate of divorce is increasing. People not getting married, but wanting the same benefits that come with a marriage. Waiting longer to get married so they make sure they take care of themselves first and not rely on the marriage to do it together. You take care of you, I'll take care of me, and we'll call that a marriage. No, that's called roommates. Not husband and wife. The wife leads the marriage because the husband has limp leadership. And then the children follow that same pattern. That Genesis 3. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. Being married but still wanting the old things you used to do when you were single. Marriage seems like you're in slavery more than you are free. That is not a marriage. A marriage is when the husband has promised his bride to take care of her at all times, to lead her, grow her, cultivate her, nourish her, and the bride reciprocates and flourishes in that leadership. Does that sound like a good marriage? Yes. Saints, are we the bride of Christ? Yes. He has given us the ketubah. Do y'all remember that? The contract. And if we say we are the bride of Christ, then we have agreed to it, have we not? Yeah. We have drank from the same cup in mutual agreement to the promise, provisions, and procreation. Jesus is our groom, and we first must have been found willing, and now we must be found faithful. When they accepted the ketubah, remember that was saying we are married. It was as good as done at that point. But we must wait while the bridegroom goes and adds on to his father's house. And while the bride is waiting, she's not sitting around doing nothing. What is she doing? She's making herself ready, waiting on her groom to return to her. Revelation 19, 7 through 8. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Yeah. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. When she agreed to the ketubah, she is practically saying, I do. How many of you married people in here, did you say I do at the altar? Well, when they accepted that ketubah, it was like saying, I do. It was as good as done at that point.
It's in the saying, I do, that you are also saying, never again. Never again will I seek another. Never again will I do things on my own. Never again will I only think of myself. It is in the never agains that you find a freedom. Freedom to have children.
Yeah.
Freedom to righteously enjoy each other.
Amen.
Amen.
Freedom to pour your life out, men, entirely in a way that represents Christ and the church.
Yeah.
Freedom to step into pastoring a family, men.
Yeah.
Freedom to build and love and shape your little ones. The list goes on and on. Notice that these I do's come at a cost. Those never agains require you to give something up. The old man in you must be cut off.
Yeah.
In our walks with Christ, we all start in a place of Egypt and a place of slavery. We are then led to a wilderness where we fight and struggle to break the chains that were on us. We then enter into a promised land where there is a freedom from sin and old self. We enter the land of promise as freed people. Jesus did not say, wait until heaven and then you are free. He said, you are free now. Free from sin and free from old self. It is in the wilderness you establish never agains.
As we were doing this, I was thinking about my own marriage. Brittany and I have been married for 12 years now.
Yeah.
Amen to that. Right, baby?
You're just getting started.
Yeah, that's right. That's the way it definitely feels. Because as most of you know, the first 8 were in bondage. Slavery. And not in the freedom we should have been. Right? We said I do to each other, but we left the old man, the flesh, our sinful nature, to rule our marriage. I spent those years lying to my wife and promising, never again will I do that. But it continued over and over and over again because I refused to take action and kill that sinful part of me. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. I spent those years saying, I love my wife. She is the only one for me. I would do anything for her, but would seek out virtual intimacy rather than grow the intimacy in our marriage. I would say never again. But it was empty words and continued to happen over and over again. Ephesians 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. I was deceiving myself with empty words. All these things kept us in slavery when we were called to be free. Exposing the unfruitful works of darkness was when we started to have freedom in our marriage. I had to say never again, then follow it up with my actions. What was I going to invest my time in? the Word of God, prayer, fellowship with brothers, which, by the way, those first 8 years, I did not have fellowship with brothers. Honestly, it wasn't until I actually had fellowship with brothers that we started seeing breakthrough in our marriage. Washing my wife with the Word, that's what I had to invest my time in. Those things. Because whenever I was not investing my time, when I was investing in work, going after the success, bigger house, better things, my marriage was crumbling. The world looked like we were successful. But my marriage was not. Galatians 6, this is in the CJB. Those who keep sowing in the field of their old nature in order to meet its demands will eventually reap ruin. But those who keep sowing in the field of the Spirit will reap from the Spirit everlasting life. So let us not grow weary of doing what is good. For if we don't give up, we will in due time reap the harvest. And I can tell you, not giving up and fighting for it, I've been reaping a harvest in my marriage. We had other never agains, people pleasing, man pleasing, anger, punching holes in doors and walls, saying never again. Our health, my family's health. There was many times we would run to the doctor, run to the medicine instead of running to prayer. Running to the doctor and say, never again will we do that. And then it wasn't until getting challenged a little bit by some brothers. I was in my son's room while my wife was sitting in our room, curled over in pain. And instead of trying to run to the doctor, I went and prayed about it. And my now 7-year-old son, Dawson, was the one who came in. And I told him what I was doing. And he sat down with me, and I was like, let's pray. And we started praying. He prayed, I prayed, and then I started praying in the Spirit, and he interrupts me. And he's like, hey, Dad. I was like, yeah, Dawson. He goes, God said it's okay to take Mom to the doctor. And I was like, when did he tell you that? He's like, when you were praying. He said, hey, Dawson. And I said, yeah. It's a normal conversation. He said, tell your dad it's okay to take your mom to the doctor. But it was from that point of now saying never again. Never again letting sickness rule our lives or dictate what we do in our marriage, where the Lord has us. Sickness does not have a hold of us anymore because we said never again to it. Never again. We went as far as saying, you know what? Let's not do insurance either. The first day without insurance, Kaylin broke her arm. And you know what we did? We rejoiced. We said, we did it right. Because you know what? We did take her to the doctor to find out her arm was broken. And we did not pay a single bill for that. We got a call saying it's been taken care of. There was many things that we have said never again to. And there are many things we're going to continue to grow in saying never again to. Because that's what we do. We forget what lies behind and we press on to what's ahead. Now, I know this man standing next to me has a few never agains.
Y'all turn to 1 Samuel 17. As y'all turn there, ask y'all a question. Is it okay if I just share my heart tonight?
Please do.
As y'all turn there, I want to begin testimony. For the few people in the room that may not know, when I was 16, I had a daughter. Her name was Kaylin. And it was in the year 2018, in February, that she passed from leukemia. She was 6 years old when that happened. About 3, maybe 4 days later, my wife would probably remember better. Elena, who was 2 months old at the time, came down with RSV. And I'm sitting at the hospital, just me and her that first night. Mama was at home taking care of a little baby Izzy. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching I just lost one and I'm watching my newest one struggle to breathe, fight for air. And the doctor comes in and says, I am going to be honest with you. We've done all we can. She's very young. I don't know if she's going to make it. You may need to prepare for the worst. I said, okay. Can you give me a minute, please? Doctor said, sure, take all the time you need. I walked down to my truck, and I screamed at God, what are you doing right now? Would you honestly take another from me? After you've already taken one. And it was in that day when I got out of that truck, I said to myself, never again will I trust the Lord to heal one of mine. And never again will I trust the Lord at all. Not fully. In me, a giant was born that day. A giant of fear. And a giant of mistrust. 1 Samuel 17, we're going to start in verse 32. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. As me and Morgan were prepping the message this week, the Lord began to just wash revelation over me. It was a beautiful night. It was. 2022. Lainey's 5 years old, I think. She's in the hospital again. Not just RSV, but with pneumonia on top of it. Full blast of oxygen. Doctor saying, done all we can. Sorry. And we'll see what happens. We think best case, we think she will recover. There might be some lung damage. But best case scenario, she'll be out of here Monday. We're not expecting that. But Monday's where we'll double check things. And so I'm at work. Kaylee's taking care of the other kids at home. And once again, anger in me rises. My never agains, never will I again trust the Lord to heal. Never again will I trust the Lord fully at all. But I had grown somewhat. And I had changed somewhat through God softening and changing my heart and through discipleship, through the men that invested their time into me. And I stopped and I prayed, God, would you heal her? Please. Would you just bring this to an end? I'm sick and tired of watching my kids go through this. I'm sick and tired of watching my kids in a hospital. Would you heal her, please? I didn't receive anything at that time, but I thought, you know what? I can sit at home tonight, or I can give this one more go, and I'm going to. I'm going to let my guard drop, and I'm going to I'm not going to take this sickness anymore. And I am going to take a stand, and I'm just going to pray and ask God to move. The thing about David that I realized this week is that the lion and the bear were sent in preparation by God to prepare him for Goliath. And that day, I was facing a lion. A lion that came to kill, steal, and destroy, and further cement the never agains I had placed in my heart. And so I walked into church. And one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen happen that night, if you weren't there. But I watched a body, see a father stand there, cut up, broken, sad, and just asking for God to move, even though he's not sure if he's really going to. And a body began to sing, it's your breath in her lungs. When I walked in there, my wife had texted me and said, she's on that full blast of oxygen, doctors are still kind of nervous. When I walked out of church that night, they were lowering the oxygen. By morning, she was being released from the hospital. And I, the next day, said, never again. Never again will I be so foolish as to not think the Lord can move and heal.
Amen.
But that's the lion. We still had the bear. Fast forward a little over a year ago, Sam's in the NICU. Precious baby girl just born to us. And she was born sick. And they rushed her off to the NICU. All types of tubes and stuff and wires hanging off of her. And she's just a day old. Very traumatic for somebody like me. To make matters worse, Kaylee had COVID, and they forbid her to see little Sam in the NICU. My wife had to wait a week to hold her baby. They tried the same with me, but they learned that day I wasn't going to let that fly. As I went throughout that week, I began to pray and pray and pray. And pray, heal, God, heal, 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 because I know you heal. You showed me with Lainey. I know you heal, and healing wasn't coming as quickly as I liked, at least. I know, it's Thursday. You did this last time, I get it. You work in patterns, God. Right? All right, so I know the answer. I'm gonna get there on Thursday, and we're gonna. It's your breath in her lungs, God. You know, and it's all gonna be fine. It's all gonna be fine. I told my wife we're walking out of here Friday. It's done. Praise God. We did not.
Yeah.
And we had a beautiful time that night. That's what I needed. So Friday night, I'm sitting there with Sam, and I'm talking to God, and I'm saying, I've done it. Everything you could have possibly wanted. What am I missing, God? Why won't you heal her? I'm sick of watching once again one of my children suffer. And God, one of the most clear times God has ever spoken to me, says, have faith and trust. And it hit me like a freight train. This entire time, I have been trying to control things, manipulate things, because I couldn't stand the thought of handing anything back over to God, because I had done that before, and he took one from me. But I had to make a decision that day. Yes, God, I will trust you, and as long as it takes, Whatever happens, it's in your hands. And I had to make that change in my heart. And I conquered the bear that week.
Amen.
And I walked out of there with a Sam. It's here today. Praise God. So now we come full circle. Now we come full circle to this past couple weeks. Because the lion was defeated and so was the bear. But I still had a giant coming my way. 2 weeks ago, my wife went in for her first sonogram and no heartbeat was detected. And then a week ago, we were told that little Hannah didn't make it. And once again, another poser girl has gone to the kingdom of heaven. Y'all go to verse 8 in that 1 Samuel 17. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will be your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Last week, I did not face the lion or the bear, but Goliath, who came to put me back into my slavery. And he taunted me. Again, this can't be happening. Haven't I paid my dues, God? Hasn't it been enough, God? And I'm not going to lie, it was tempting. The slavery I once knew. The anger I used to feel rose back up in this last week. The old twisted comfort of depression seemed appealing. And Egypt for a moment didn't seem that bad. But I had two never agains in my back pocket. Never again would I mistrust God. And never again would I doubt that he can heal. And I said to myself, no. Never again would I doubt his ability to heal. Never again would I fall back into anxiety. Never again would I give into depression. Never again would I go back to Egypt where I was enslaved. Never again would I let these things steal away from me, from my family, the husband my wife deserves, the daddy those kids deserve.
Yeah.
God takes a man and brings him to a place where he has to face the lion, where he has to find the bear and slay him. Mm-hmm. And it is for the purpose of that faithful day where you have to face the Goliath that is defying you. How did David slay Goliath? Verse 48. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground.
Yeah.
You want to see the stones I slayed Goliath with this week?
Yeah, show us.
You know, I'll do one better. I'll read them to you. These were a gift from the Lord. Through Miss Tracy.
Amen.
2 Samuel 23, 11 through 12. Next to Eleazar was Shemek, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines were gathered into an army. There was a plot of ground full of lentils. And the people of Israel fled from the Philistines. But he took his stand the center of the plot and defended it and struck it down the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory.
Yeah.
My plot, the one that the Lord has given me, it's right there.
Yeah.
That's my field. That it may not look like much to the world. Sometimes it looks a little bruised and a little broken, but it's everything to me.
Yeah,
and amen. Never again is a giant going to come tear up my field.
Yeah, right.
Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble in dread before them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Never again. Never again. Do you know where the giant comes from? Genesis 6 says it's a mixture of fallen angels and women. Your giant comes from an egg of fear, wrong desire, anger, seeded by a lie of manipulation that comes from the kingdom of darkness. The giant comes from you, your old self, your bonded self, wanting to lead you from a place of freedom and back into a place of slavery. The giant says, let's worship the gods of depression we used to. It's easier this way. Faith is just too hard. Let us worship our old gods, the gods of anger and rage, the gods of anxiety, the gods of mistrust and suspicion, the god of selfishness, the gods of depression. The giant's goal is to trick you back into the bondage you were freed from when you gained your never agains, when you struck down the lion, when you slew the bear. The enemy can provide the chains, but he can't put them on you. That's your choice.
Yep.
And the giant is ultimately your old man.
Y'all turn to Deuteronomy 13 with us and just plan on staying there until the rest of the message. There were some things the Lord was revealing to us between Deuteronomy 13 and 1 Samuel 17. We want to make sure y'all track with us tonight on it. Y'all say there when you're there. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning what he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. Now, as we go through this, I'm going to, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me. For I feel divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Now, when we read Deuteronomy 13, go back to verse 1, please. You read that as a prophet or a dreamer. How many of you thought of something other than yourself? Honest people, there we go. Thank you. I want you to see that the Lord was showing us that it's your flesh. Your old man, your sinful nature is that false prophet, that false dreamer. Your flesh has set itself up against what God has spoken to you. Your old man is still alive and dreaming of the old way of life before you came to Christ. You have said never again, but they were empty words with no action behind them. You have been given the ketubah, the promise, the contract, yet you're still dreaming of something different than what was spoken to you and what you said you agreed to. Galatians 5:13. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Were we called to freedom?
Yes.
When it says you were called to freedom, it's saying that you are invited to freedom. You are given a new name in that freedom. You are to bear the name of Christ. He is your bridegroom, right? When you have been given that new name, there is freedom that comes from it. Yet we feel like we are in slavery most of the time instead of the freedom that Christ gives us. Romans 8, starting in verse 5, says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let's continue on. Deuteronomy 13:3.
You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. We do not entertain the old man ever. We do not let the flesh have any say in anything. Their ways are dark and twisted. The place where they dwell is death, and you were called out of such things. Yeah. Instead, we keep his commandments. You shall listen to his voice, serve him, cling to him like you would a lover. Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. God waits and he watches for the one who is able to shut the flesh up and come running back to him.
Picking up in verse 5, but that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, to seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil among you. That prophet, that dreamer, your old man, your flesh, your sinful nature, shall be put to death. Yeah. Why did it need to be put to death? Because it was counseling rebellion against the Lord. That was grounds for death. Has your flesh, your old man, your sinful nature counsel you to rebel against the Lord? Then it must be put to death. When you put it to death, it's saying, never again will I do this. Amen. How many times have we said never again, but it keeps happening? That's because we haven't put it to death. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. By the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. That is saying never again. Those of you who have done marriage enrichment, do you remember Exodus 6? Well, maybe if you haven't, you should know Exodus 6. The four cups of Seder. Exodus 6:6-8. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. I will bring you out. Jesus is our bridegroom, so he has the primary authority in our lives. I will deliver you, freeing us from an incomplete and dead way of living. I will redeem you. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice, the high cost of freedom, to redeem us. We must reciprocate this call and die to our flesh, our old way of living, and move towards what the Lord has for us. I will take you to be one with him. He has done all this for us. We can no longer be seduced by the desires of our flesh. We are done with that type of living. Are we done with that type of living? Yes. We shall purge the evil among us and say, never again.
Picking up in verse 6, if your brother, your mother's son, or your son or daughter, or the wife you cherish, or your friend who is as your own soul, entice you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, whom neither you nor your fathers have known, of the gods of the peoples who are around you, near you or far from you, from the one end of the earth to the other end, You shall not yield to him or listen to him, and your eyes shall not pity him, nor shall you spare or conceal him. You know what I have allowed in my mind and in my heart? I've allowed the fear of losing my own children lead me astray and keep me locked up inside my old man. I allowed this fear to entice me away from faithfulness to God. And I spent years worshiping my fear and anger towards God. My children became a source of fear, prophesying and dreaming the worst possible outcomes if I allowed God to remain in control. It's not always as literal as we might think. Who's living in that head rent-free right now? Maybe it's not fear, maybe it's an offense. Maybe it's a wound. And you allow your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your friend that is of your own soul and your heart to lead you astray and serve gods of fear and hate and jealousy. And you can't serve God fully if you are too busy sitting in anger over what has happened with somebody or something else. So what are we to do?
Verse 9. But you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. So you shall stone him to death, because he has sought to seduce you from the Lord your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Say you.
You.
Now say me.
Me.
You shall surely kill him. Kill who? Your flesh, your old man, that should have already been dead. You are in Christ. You are married to Christ. It is one. The old man is gone. 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If the old has passed away, that means it is dead. Now, think back with me real quick in 1 Samuel 17. Do you remember what David did in 1 Samuel 17? How did he kill Goliath? With a stone. Who took the responsibility to kill Goliath? David did. It said, you shall surely kill him. David did exactly what it says here in Deuteronomy 13. Anything that sets itself up as a Goliath in your life must be stoned to death.
Yeah, come on.
If you have stones, pull them out right now. Hold them up if you have stones. If you don't have stones, that is why you're losing the battle. You have no ammo. If you do have stones and you're still losing the battle, maybe it's because you haven't thrown them yet. The stones didn't sit in David's bag. He used them. He was training with the lion and the bear for such a time as this. We must use them. When we put our hand first to kill the flesh, guess what happens? What did it say in Deuteronomy 13? When you put your hand against him to put him to death, afterwards, the hand of all the people. You're not doing it alone, but you have to be the one to make the decision and do it first. If there are giants in your life and Goliaths in your life, brothers will do everything they can, but you have to put your hand to it first. What happened whenever David threw that stone at Goliath and took him down? The entire Israel army chased down the Philistines and plundered them. If you are baptized into the body of Christ, then you will have people surrounding you to help you. Once you have put your hand first against him to put him to death. This is what happens when we say never again and mean it. We will chase down the enemy and plunder the kingdom of darkness. We are in a total war, siege warfare, but it starts with each one of us putting our hand first against the old man, the flesh, the enemy, and saying never again as we put him to death, as we throw those stones. We are called to be free. Free from addictions, free from insecurities, free from apathy, free from fear, free from anger, free from slavery, free from whatever is holding you back. You were called to be free. Amen. Say to now, say tonight, right now, never again.
Never again.
As you say that, what is your never again? Get a stone and start throwing it. You have to put your hand against it to kill it. The ladies did an amazing job. If you have not seen in here, there's a stone wall. If you don't have a stone, get a stone. If you have stones and you have extras for your brothers and sisters, won't you leave a stone for them so they can start throwing them at the enemy?
Y'all go ahead and stand up as I read the last verse. Then all Israel will hear and be afraid and will never again do such a wicked thing among you.
Yeah.
We only accomplish the mission when we are bold enough and brave enough to look at the things that want to enslave us and cast the first stone. And without fail, people, this body, your brothers, your sisters will rally around you. But it starts with you saying enough is enough. Never again.
Never again.
All right. Let's go ahead and pray.
Amen.
Mighty God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you were the first one that said never again.
Yes.
Lord, that you are the ones that empower us to say never again.
Yes.
Mighty God, Lord, I ask for my friends, for myself, that you continue to bring us to a place where we have to fight the lion and we have to fight the bear so that we may conquer the Goliaths that are coming for us, God. And so that together as a body, we may impact this city as a people that have said never again.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you and we love you and we praise you, mighty God. Amen.